You are listening to the place where good ideas go to die. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you so much for your indulgence.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Thank you for shopping. Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Guess which one I am? No, that's not me. No, never mind. So good to be with you. This is so important to somebody. This is good. This is nice. Can I get you a cocktail? Oh, you don't drink? Why not? My doctor asks me all the time when I go to the doctor, always says, like, Ron, how many drinks of alcohol do you have in the space of a week? And I go, just a week? Two. She knows I'm lying because my nose actually gets bigger when I say that. But, you know, don't fool me, doctor. Don't fool me, because I know when the workday's over, after you've seen all these annoying, complaining patients, you're in the closet in the back room, down in a bottle of vodka. I know you are. Don't lie to me. All right. That's called self-medication, by the way. No, it's not aspirin. It's alcohol. That's what self-medication is. They used to do that in the Old West. Have you seen one of those Western films? I know you have. And they take a bullet in the arm. Ouch, they say. Ouch. I think I've been hit. What do you mean you think I've been hit? Your arm's bleeding. What are you talking about? And they say, okay, we got to get the bullet out. And they get like a hot iron tweezer or something. And, and they say, okay, this is going to hurt. And what they do is they the patient there who has a bullet in their arm bites a bullet and then takes a swig of alcohol. You see? It's alcohol self-medication. That's what I'm talking about. It must have sucked to live in the Old West. You think we got a gun problem now? Oh, man. God. There's always been gun problems in this country. Oh, my God. Yeah, shoot them up. Wow. It's never stopped. Now we're into automatic weapons. I mean, you know, started with a musket where it took like about 17 minutes to reload. Then we got to the Colt 45, which is also malt liquor, by the way. And the handguns and then the machine guns. Remember those from the roaring 20s? The machine guns? Also the sound of me stuttering when I was 13 years old. And now, the automatic weapons, you know, the assault rifles, you know, which, you know, when you go deer hunting, you want that assault rifle just in case there's 2,000 deers charging at you. And don't shoot deers. Come on. Did you ever see the movie Bambi? What the hell's wrong with you? Why would you want to shoot Bambi? Those people have families. Well, those deers have families. Come on. Yeah, I know. I know what you're saying. Yeah, when they cross the road, they don't tell people first. They just dart across the road. Okay, maybe they're not familiar with our ways, but at the same time, you don't go shooting wild animals like that. Come on. That That's nasty. That's nasty. Oh, that's just nasty. It says a lot about a person. Here, I'm going to go up into the mountains this weekend and shoot me some deer. Oh, okay. Give me a head start then, because I'm getting the hell out of here. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Why would you do that? Well, Ron, do you eat cows?
Yeah, I know. I'm not proud of it.
Why did I change my voice for that? Why did I bother? Still me, you know that. They think it's still me, Bob.
They do. That's ridiculous. It's me, Bob.
They still think that I'm playing your voice.
That's ridiculous. I'm a separate person who has his own life and his own family and my own ways of thought and my own things that I'm my own hobbies. Why would they think that you're making up a voice?
I don't know, Bob. I don't know. I can't explain them. Anyway, welcome to the program. Thanks for being here. You know, on the day where I live in the Boston area. Thank you. No applause is necessary because it really isn't. It's no big deal. I live in the Boston area, but it's not where I'm from. No, 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 no. I am from the New York, New Jersey, greater metropolitan area. It's a mouthful, but that's where I'm from. I'm a New York boy. Grew up in New Jersey to a certain extent. And when it's hot like this outside, I remember the ice cream truck. How about you? See, I didn't live in Massachusetts when I was a kid at all. So I don't know what it was like to live as a kid in Massachusetts, nor what it was like to live a kid in North Dakota, or those of you that live in California or Wyoming or South Dakota. Why do you live in South Dakota, by the way? What's the point of that? Anyway, California, you know, New Mexico, I don't know. I know Kansas. I didn't grow up there, so I don't know what it was like. All I know is in New Jersey on a hot day around 4:30 in the afternoon, this is what I would hear. Now, some of you will recognize this. Others will not, because this particular ice cream truck was not in every state. Just in like 5 or 6 or 7 states in the country. The rest not. I don't believe they were in Massachusetts, and I don't believe that they were in Texas and other states. But this is what I heard at 4:15 in the afternoon after I got home from school as a kid. When I wanted, it was a hot day outside. And then I would hear this in the distance.
Oh, no. Oh. Oh, my God.
The Mr. Softy ice cream truck. Now, for those of you that aren't familiar with Mr. Softy, no, it wasn't my nickname in high school. You people, everything's about the penis, right? Huh? Everything's got to be about the penis with you. No, Mr. Softy was soft serve ice cream. It was a thing that came out of that little machine. And it was like a whipped, soft ice cream. Didn't scoop. It poured. And you could dip it into a chocolate covering, or you could put sprinkles on it. In some states, they called them jimmies. I don't know why. I don't know why Jimmy would be sprinkled on your cone. That sounds a little disgusting to me, because I knew somebody named Jimmy. I wanted him nowhere near my cone. But they were sprinkles is what they were. So the Mr. Softy truck, yeah, you'd hear it in the distance very, very softly. And then as time grew on, within the next minute, we get closer and closer and closer. Just enough time to run into the house and yell for my mother, Mom, Mom, the Mr. Softy truck. And she would say to herself, oh no, we're having dinner in an hour and a half. What the hell's that truck doing here? But she would give me the money. I think it was only like a quarter, maybe 50 cents. for a good-sized Mr. Softy cone. My God. It only came in two flavors when I was growing up. Chocolate and vanilla. That was it. Sometimes you could have them mixed together in swirls. Oh, my God. Stop it. Stop it. You're giving me a you-know-what. Don't do it. That was the delight of my life. As a kid, you know, there was no sex. I didn't enjoy food. What did I have? I had nothing. I had nothing to excite me except for Mr. Softy. I'd go to bed at night, and I would sing the Mr. Softy jingle in my head. Yeah, I would. I don't know how it went. Oh, so Mr. Softy, give me some ice cream and let me go to bed. It's a Mr. Softy, I like to eat it every day. I eat it as I sing. I love that truck, I love the man, I want to see them bing. I love the Softy truck, the Softy truck. All right, I'm sorry, I apologize for that. I don't know the words, quite obviously. I'm sorry. Just makes me so excited to hear that again. I found that jingle on the internet. Where else would you find something like that? I broke down and Googled it. And just listening to it just brought me back to my childhood. That happens sometimes with music, doesn't it? You hear a song from the, you know, when you were growing up, when you were in school. Not you know, not when you were born. Yeah, you didn't remember anything when you were born. You know, I remember being born. Yeah, I remember going down the birth canal. You don't remember. Nobody remembers that. They can't. Their brains aren't developed. So shut up. But you remember your school days and your young school days and those first impressions of life around you. And for me, that was the ice cream truck, man. It was the ice cream truck. Yeah. I think every kid at first wanted to be an ice cream truck driver. But then I realized I can't drive an ice cream truck. I'll weigh like 700 pounds after the first week of employment. I can't do that. And then all those annoying little shits running up to the truck every day. I can't handle that either. Those screaming little kids. It's all I can do not to hit one of them with my truck, you know, just to shut them up for a few minutes. I apologize for that. I apologize for that. I don't mean it. That's just a comedy thing. But no, I don't want a job with screaming kids. Oh my God, no. You know who I think are the greatest people on the planet, besides people that love me? Grade school teachers. Oh my God, you people. I mean, that's the battleground. Thank you for your service. I'm serious. You have to put up with those little things all day, aimlessly not yet trained to live. I mean, they're still peeing their pants. They scream, they yell, they have fits and tantrums. They don't know what the hell's going on. I mean, and you're trying to teach them how to count and the alphabet, and it's futile. Oh, my God. God. Teachers, you are saints. What you put up with, there is a reward because you do shape and mold these people for the rest of their lives. All of us, every adult, remembers the teachers that they had in school that sent them on the right track, that inspired them to be somebody. I mean, teachers are incredible. Do they get paid enough? Nah, not really. Do they get the summers off? Yeah, but, you know, still, they want the money. They don't want the time off. They want the money. No, they like their time off. They want more money and their time off. But that's okay because that is a job, man. That is a job. They're not only teaching. Let's face it. Let's not kid ourselves. Come on. Let's be honest. They're babysitters. They are professional state-employed baby scissors. Did I say baby scissors? They're not baby scissors. They're babysitters. Yeah, that's what they are. And you know it. Adults, it gives you the day off.
Day off. I have to go to work.
All right, whatever. It's time you don't have to deal with them. That's half the job. The other half of the teachers are supposed to inspire them and teach them things that obviously you're not teaching them at home. Yeah, teachers, man. I mean, unsung heroes. Well, I sing them. I sing them. I had a crush on my second grade teacher. In second grade, I was crushable. I was able to have, I wouldn't say sexual fantasies. I don't know how I loved this teacher. I don't think it was in a sexual way, but I did want to be with her. So I don't know what that was, to be honest with you. Her name was Mrs. Brown, and you're probably saying, yeah, right. Yeah, that was her name. I don't remember her first name because she never referred to herself in the first name. She was Mrs. Brown. Actually, she was Miss Brown. I don't think she was Mrs. Brown. I think all of them were Miss, whether they were married or not. But I thought she was wonderful. I thought she was attractive. I thought she was pleasurable. I wanted to do things for her for no reason whatsoever. Yeah, I had a crush on her. She crushed my heart, though, when I went to third grade and I had a male teacher. That was the end of that one. But still, whether it worked out or not, and it's not supposed to, by the way, but but that crush was like, that was something. That was a monumental thing in my life. And I remember her, and I remember what she looked like. I remember her name. I remember the classroom. I remember all of it. In second grade, you can't be like too into them because it's a little weird. But I didn't know that in second grade. How old was I? 1.5? I don't even know. I don't even know how old I was in second grade. I guess I had to be at least 2, but I know it was more than that. I have no concept of how old I was in any class. I don't. I think I graduated high school when I was 16, I think. No, I don't remember that part. It wasn't consequential to me. But I do remember running home from school and changing into my play clothes. And I don't really know what they were, but I played in them. And kissed my mother hello. She was home when I got home. When I was growing up, one person worked in the... One parent worked, the other one stayed home. Then as I got older, both parents were working. Changed kind of while I was going to school. But my mother would be there when I got home, and she gave me a little peck on the cheek, on the chest. And I would change into my play clothes, which was a leather outfit with a whip. And then... And then we would hear, in the distance,
Gary Filkington, founder, owner, and operator of Filkington Gender Warehouse in picturesque West Bridgewater. We've got genders for all occasions here, for sale, lease, or hourly rental. There's no need whatsoever for you to agonize over what gender floats your proverbial boat. You can choose from one or more of our selection of over 30,000 government-certified genders of the highest quality. Come on in and talk to one of our qualified gender specialists, or feel free to browse around in our vast 3-story gender showroom. Whether you're a boy or a girl or a genuflecting peach pit or whatever, you're guaranteed to find a gender that'll show the world you're something special. And while you're here, if you gotta use the can, it's open season, baby. Go wherever your spirit takes you. Filkington Gender Warehouse is open weekdays till 8 p.m. and till 2 a.m. on Saturday for your late night gender action. Surprise your friends, piss off your parents, get special treatment at your job with a brand new Filkington Gender, Filkington Gender Warehouse. We identify as being at 367 East Route 43 in West Bridgewater, so maybe go there.
Hi, Ron. It's so nice to talk with you again.
You too. You're one of my favorite authors because the Love Your Age book has become my Bible, as I told you last time.
Yes, I wrote that down. I said, oh my God, he called to the Bible. I was so happy. Well, thank you so much.
It's true. It's true. I'm going to make sure that your book is in every hotel drawer. Okay. Anyway.
You know, we really don't think about our bones enough. We don't give our bones the attention that they deserve. And here's something really interesting, Ron, is that our bones are so dense and solid and strong when we're kids. We know that. Yeah. And then when we're in our 20s, we really reach our best bone health at that time, like in mid-20s, late-20s, they're most dense. Every year after that, they get weaker and thinner. Yeah. And that's just the natural part of aging.
Right.
But we really can do simple things to stop the progression of weakening bones. This is osteoporosis is preventable, is preventable. And I want everyone to know that. And I'm the bone health ambassador for the National Osteoporosis Foundation. Oh. So this month, which, May is National Osteoporosis Month, we are trying to make people aware of all ages that they can do these simple things.
And what are some of the simple things that we can do? I know when I was a kid and I fell down, I bounced right back up. I don't bounce anymore.
I know. And you know what else you were doing when you were a kid, which we should all be doing even now, is jumping. We were jumping. We were running. We were doing jumping jacks and leapfrog. Remember all that?
Yes, I do.
And that's exactly what helped to keep our bones strong. And so one of the things that we can be doing, if you don't have osteoporosis, please, I want to point that out.
Right.
If you don't, you want to be at any age. You want to jump, run, that's weight-bearing, high impact. Jump rope, jumping jacks, and all of that. But if you do have osteoporosis, then something more low impact like the elliptical or gold standard, walking.
Yeah.
But you also need to do strength training and get enough calcium-rich foods, and also making sure you're taking vitamin D, at least 2,000 a day.
Oh.
So these are all simple, right? Nothing complicated. And here's something else, Ron. You know, my feeling is, and I say this throughout my book, Love Your Age, if we feel good, if we feel healthy and fit and feel good, we look good. You just do.
That's
you don't feel good. You just don't look as good. So it's like a wonderful byproduct. You know, sure, you can use the best new skin cream out there, but the truth is, if you're taking good care of yourself, if you're nourishing your body with the right foods, and if you're, working and moving your body in the right ways, you will feel good and you will look good. Simple, simple steps.
Interesting. Can you bust a myth? Can you bust a myth for me? That sounded wrong somehow. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
I love myth busting.
Myth. There you go. Thank you. I'm glad you said it. When I was young, my mother told me to drink milk because it has calcium and milk is good for strong bones. Then when I got older, it was don't drink milk because it's got sugar in it and it's too much dairy and all that. What's with the calcium thing? Does calcium equal bones?
That's a great question. And when we're younger, you're right, milk really is a great thing. But guess what? As you get older, your stomach really can't digest milk as well. I mean, this is true of the vast majority of us. So milk is not really the best option for us. There are so many other ways to get your calcium. And by the way, the National Osteoporosis Foundation always says, get your calcium from food first. And if for some reason, if you have some strange health thing going on where you can't, then you can supplement. But you can get your calcium from food. We need about 1,200 mg a day. And you can get it from broccoli, from certain fish, from kale, from yogurt. You know, you don't have to drink milk. So that's really important to note. So I personally, I steer clear of dairy now, except for a little cream in my coffee.
Okay, and that's
that
fine.
I still have.
Yeah, everything in a small amount, except for drugs, is a wonderful thing.
Correct, everything in moderation.
Yeah, I want to get back to the thesis of your book, Love Your Age, for just a second, because you said something just now that is absolutely true. It's life is perception. It's how you feel. It's how you look. When someone says to you, "Hey, you look really good today." That's the whole day for me. It's like, wow. And then all of a sudden I'm happy and I actually feel better. A lot of it's psychosomatic and such and psychological.
Oh, yeah. No, this is true. Yeah. I have a whole chapter devoted to happiness and things that scientifically backed. And this happens to be one of them. And guess what else happens? It's like a chain reaction. If someone compliments you, mm-hmm. you will be walking straighter.
Yes.
You'll be smiling more.
Yes.
But guess what? You will also compliment somebody else. You'll be much more inclined to compliment somebody else and make that person's day. And it's like a chain reaction of happiness. And it is a form of happiness. It's a form of well-being. And that all contributes to your overall health and well-being. There's no question about it.
And
guess what? This is why I subtitled my book, The Small Step Solution to a Better, Longer, Happier Life, because these are all small steps that anybody can take. That was not a big effort, was it, to compliment somebody on their dress, their hair.
Right.
Not at all. But it's a big impact.
It is. I think the brain can actually affect the physical body, and when you are happy and healthy in the head, I think it actually can change your metaphysics somehow. I don't know if that's...
Yes, and there's one more thing, too. Yeah. It's also a feeling that if you feel out of control, like you can't control anything, that can really be quite detrimental. Yeah. So one of my favorite mantras, which I say all the time, is we can't control getting older, but we can control how we do it. And it's true. Every day is a series of choices that we make about our own health and well-being, what we eat, what we don't eat, if we move our bodies, if we don't, you name it. And these are choices that we make, and they are under our control. And the vast majority, including osteoporosis, of vast majority of diseases and health issues are preventable.
Very good.
Are preventable.
Well, that's good to hear, certainly. We're running out of time. I can always talk to you for hours, but I'm not allowed to by law. All right, the book is...
Ron, it's always so much fun to talk to you.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Love Your Age is the book. Everybody, you should get one. And give me a website where we can keep in touch with what's going on.
Okay, and all social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you name it, but also www.BarbaraHannah.com.
Perfect. Perfect. Happy Osteoporosis Month to you.
And to you too, Ron. Thank you.
Right.
Stay strong.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. But until that time arrives, I wish you peace.